Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Who has believed what they heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. We read, First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. O Lord, have mercy on us.
The Holy Gospel for our fifth Lenten devotion this evening from the book of John, the 18th chapter. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside and said to them, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered him, If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. The Jews said to him, It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill the words that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I would not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. In you, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you again for this evening, and we thank you that your kingdom has come among us, that you continue to rule and reign in our world. Strengthen us, Father, and help us to return to your ruling over us that we might trust in you in all things. Open our hearts and our ears now to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In the middle of Wisconsin, in the middle of the night, a pastor is summoned to the nursing home. As he goes in, one of his members is there, dying. The family has asked him to come in and do a service called the Commendation for the Dying. It's a wonderful service where those who are gathered confess the Christian faith. They confess the Apostles' Creed. They confess their sins. They hear God's word. And then at the end, this one that they love, they commend that person to God's care. The family is there. The pastor is there. They tell stories. They give thanks for the life. And they entrust this saint to God's care. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reign of God. A young mother steps tentatively into the church lobby in a small congregation in western Kansas. She walks in not knowing anyone. The only thing she knows is she has got a notice that they're going to shut off her electricity. She walks in and someone from the church befriends her right there, gets to know her, hear her story, and that dear saint invites her in to fellowship and then to worship. They exchange phone numbers, and then after that, that dear saint goes down and pays her electric bill so that she might continue on. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reign of God. A homeless man is found sleeping on the steps right in front of the doors of the church. In early morning on Sunday, when the elder comes to open everything up and get ready for worship, he sees the man there, he wakes him up, he hears his story. The man says he's homeless, he hasn't eaten in a long time, and the elder brings him in and takes him into the kitchen and finds whatever's there for a makeshift meal, helps him get cleaned up, invites him to come in and worship, talks to him about the hope and the forgiveness we have in Jesus. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reign of God as he works in our world and in all of the people that are gathered around us. On Sunday morning and this evening, after we get done with our order of service, we gather here in this semicircle around this rail, and your Savior comes to you and feeds you. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood of the new covenant given and shed for you. Your King comes to you and gives you forgiveness of sins, gives you his own body for you, forgives you, encourages you, picks you up and brushes you off, and sets you on a course back into the world, encouraged and strengthened. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reign of God as he comes among us and he gives us his gifts. What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? That's the question that we're asking tonight. Pilate struggles with understanding it. This is the gospel tonight. And it can be heard for us who actually are the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God are those in whom our Lord gives his good gifts. The kingdom of God are those who gather some professionals, if you will, and others lay people, but the kingdom of God comes and gives his gifts to all his people. Our sermon series for this year has been Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents of disaster. We've seen our own sinfulness, but we've also seen and heard how God continues to pursue us. He continues to encourage us. He continues to forgive us and give us his gifts. Tonight, the invitation for us is return to the Lord your God. Return to his kingdom. And that's where our readings have gone for tonight. That's where we hear Jesus talking to Pilate. We hear the phrase kingdom of God, and we tend to relate that image back to a place. Maybe the kingdom of God is confined right here to the walls of the church, where our Lord meets us here at this altar. But he does his most visible and obvious work here. But certainly, the work of our Father, the work of our God, is not confined by these walls. God is certainly not limited by this place. Perhaps the kingdom of God follows the pastor around as I go to the shut-ins and I take my individual communion kits and I give them communion in their homes or in the place where they live. That doesn't seem right either, though, that the kingdom of God would just be confined to the work of a pastor. You have fallen from grace and embarrassed themselves, scandalized their congregations and their communities with human failures. No, the kingdom of God can't be centered on the work of the pastor. What if the kingdom of God is purely heavenly, and we wait for that time when our Lord takes us home to be with him? And the kingdom of God there will finally be revealed to us, and we'll see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we'll see the kingdom of heaven. Well, that doesn't fit either, because our Lord came into our world, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up in a household, played and lived and was taught, was baptized, became a rabbi and taught, and continued to point people to the kingdom of God through the forgiveness of sins. No, the kingdom of God isn't simply a heavenly place either. The kingdom of God is in every place where Jesus is. Every place where Jesus gives us his gifts. Every place where we find comfort and hope in the words and the promises of Jesus. The chief priests in the readings for tonight turned Jesus over to the Roman government on Friday morning. Their intention was clear. This man has to die. Pilate tried to de-escalate the situation, but he was backed into a corner. So he brought Jesus in and he asked him the question right up front. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked. And this was no ideal question, no small question. Pilate clearly understood what the chief priests had been up to. He had a pretty good idea that they had turned Jesus over to him that he might see that Jesus was killed. Best to get right to the point. So Pilate asked the question straight up. But Jesus can't just answer a question like that. He could, but Pilate certainly wouldn't understand it. Pilate would understand a king and a kingdom in a very physical way. And Jesus, king, has a kingdom that is not of this world. But Jesus can't just answer the question straight up. He continues to help Pilate so that Pilate might understand. Pilate has a particular understanding of what it means to be a king. And Jesus' kingship doesn't fit into any of Pilate's categories. He could admit that he's a king, but Pilate wouldn't understand that either. He might just think that Jesus was vying for power, trying to find a position, or trying to push someone else out of power, but that wasn't it either. He's a king of a whole different plane. Jesus probes Pilate. Did you come up with this question on your own, or did somebody tell you to ask it? Pilate's in no mood to play. He isn't listening. He doesn't want to play games with Jesus. Listen, I'm not only a Jew, and frankly, I don't care who the king of the Jews may be, but you've rubbed somebody the wrong way, and that's why you're here. And Pilate wanted to get to the heart of the issue. Pilate wanted to help Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to give him some understanding of what it meant and if he was a king. Jesus tries his best to explain to this man who doesn't have a grasp who Jesus is and who doesn't understand why Jesus is standing in front of him. It's not a kingdom like you would imagine. If it were, Jesus' followers would be fighting for him. They would be defending him. They would be trying to put together a coup to put Jesus in place. But Jesus' kingdom is not like the kingdom that Pilate has. Because it's not that kind of kingdom, it's something else. It's something bigger. It's something much more important. Pilate chews on that for a minute, and then he says back to Jesus, "So you are a king." And Jesus' answer is terrific. "You say that I am a king," which is a little like Jesus answering him, "Now you're starting to get it." But then Jesus goes on to explain that he is the kind of king who has come into this world to point folks to something more important than has ever been understood before. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. And if you get it, if you get the truth, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, Jesus says. At that point, Pilate finally gives up. But you don't, we don't, because we know the truth. We know that Jesus is the King that has come into this world to give us hope, to walk with us in our sorrows, to strengthen us in our troubles, and most importantly, to forgive our sins so that we may rest with Him on that final day. As we went through all of those scenarios at the beginning of the message, I saw several of you nodding, understanding you know what the kingdom of God looks like. You know that when you sit with your loved one and you hear the words from Jesus' very lips that even though you die, you will rise again. You understand that. This message that we hear tonight, the kingdom of God, is not about geographical boundaries. It's not about particular groups of people. Kingdom of God is about Jesus. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit. It's about a loving God who invites, forgives, encourages, and builds us up. The kingdom of God exists wherever the loving activity of God is playing out. In a hospital room, visiting with someone who had a stroke. That's where I was this afternoon. Giving that person Holy Communion, reminding them that their sins are forgiven and that their Savior still knows them and loves them and will be with them through all their burdens. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the reign of God and the comfort that He gives to this woman struggling with health issues. The kingdom of God is right there in the midst of the drug rehab house where the drug addict is finally at his lowest point and receives help and finally begins to get the burdens and the demons that control him under control. Welcome to the kingdom of God. When that person finally realizes that they can't do it on their own, that all of their running away won't help deal with the problem. The kingdom of God is when high school students gather around the flagpole in the morning and pray for their teachers and their friends, and they know that God hears. The kingdom of God is here tonight. As you hear His word preached to you, as you take comfort in the promises that your Savior is with you, as you hear His word to return back to the kingdom of God again, and you promise to do better, to hear more, to be in the Word more. God calls us all to be part of His reign and His rule, to witness the work that he is doing in our midst and to participate in it, to play the role of his hands and his feet as you love your neighbor, as you take care of the one next to you. God invites us to be a part of this kingdom. He does the work of saving. He does the work of faithing. But he gives us this great opportunity to be in with him, giving the good news and sharing it with those around us. That's the kingdom of God. And it's been given to all of us to share this wonderful news with those who we are close to. Return to the kingdom. Return to his gifts. And tonight when you leave, take them with you and give them to your neighbor and your family and your friends and let them see the hope and the promise that you have. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.